see another sitting from the sittings on Dhul-Hijjah. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because maximize the reward of this month. May He subhanahu wa ta'ala overlook our shortcomings, forgive our sins, and make us all inmates of Al-Jannah, and make us witness many age and many Arafah on this earth. Inshallah, our discussion is going to be a brief talk on the day of Arafah and about Eid al-Adha. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in an authentic hadith which was recorded by Al-Imam Muslim, the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, إِنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قَالْ مَا مِنْ يَوْمٍ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ أَنْ يُعْطِقَ اللَّهُ فِي عَبْدَ مِنَ النَّارِ مِنْ يَوْمِ عَرَفَةِ وَإِنَّهُ لَيَدْنُو ثُمَّ يُبَاهِ بِئِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ فَيَقُولْ مَا أَرَادَ أَوْلَاهِ. Aisha radiallahu anha said that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is no day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set free a man who meets from al-fire a servant more than the day of Arafah. وَإِنَّهُ لَيَدْنُ ثُمَّ يُبَاهِي بِهُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come close to his servant. ثُمَّ يُبَاهِي بِهُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be boasting of a servant before the angels. فَيَقُولْ مَا أَرَادَ أَوْلَىٰ. Watch. Then he will be saying, Ma arada awla, what do these people want? This hadith tells us about the importance of the day of Arafah, which is today, the night of Dhul Hijjah, that the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in an authentic hadith, that إني أحتسب على الله أن يكفر به السنة الماضية والسنة الباقية. That is صيام يوم عرفة أحتسب على الله أن يكفر به السنة الماضية والسنة الباقية. That I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would wipe away the sin of the previous year and the sins of the following year by fasting the day of Arafah. This is the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This tells us the importance of this day, which is the night of Dhul-Hijjah. And we see that a lot of Muslims today are fasting this day. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us our request, or may He subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all inmates of Al-Jannah. So this day of Arafah is a very important day. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Aisha radiallahu anha has said, مَا مِنْ يَوْمٍ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ أَنْ يُعْتِقَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ عَبْدًا مِنَ النَّارِ مِنْ يَوْمِ عَرَفَةٍ. There is no day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set free a servant from hell more than the day of Arafah. إِنَّهُ لَيَدْنُو. Allah would come come close to the people. ثُمَّ يُبَاهِي بِهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be boasting with these people before the angels. فَيَقُولُ مَا أَرَادَ أَوْلَىٰ. What do these people mean? What do these people want? So the people will be supplicating, those on the plain of Arafah, they will be supplicating right from the time of Zuhr and Asr, that is after the combination of Salatul Zuhr and Asri, they will be supplicating as done by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam supplicated till sunset. From the time he observed Zuhr and Asri, Jam'an, that is combined, after that he started supplication. He raised up his hand supplicating on his mount, on his ride, on the camel. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam supplicated till the sun set, and he left Arafah for Muzdalifah. He did not observe Salatul Maghrib in Arafah. Rather, he delayed it till he got to Muzdalifah, where he combined Salatul Maghrib and Salatul Isha. Those who are not on the plain of Arafah, meaning those who did not perform Hajj, so they can also supplicate on this day of Arafah. Firstly, it is a sunnah, as it is established from a lot of companions, that on the day of Arafah, from the subh of Arafah, they will start to do takbir. Apart from the takbir that you have mentioned before, you know, we said from the beginning of Dhul-Hijjah, the fall of Dhul-Hijjah, there will be takbir, the glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This does not have a specific time. That is, they will continue to do that whenever they remember. However, on the night of Dhul-Hijjah, which is the day of Arafah, the subh of the day of Arafah, from the subh of Arafah, there is what is called at-takbir al-muqayyad, that is restricted takbir. This is to be done after a compulsory prayer, and this commences from the subh of Arafah. So after the taslim and the istighfar, Allahumma anta as-salam wa minka as-salam tabarak ta ya zal jalal wal ikram, the salaf al-salih, as it is established from a lot of them, they will come up with at-takbir al-muqayyad. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar, لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد, or something similar to this. So they would do this, glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this, they would do the normal azkar that they do after the salawat. But this will be done after the saying of astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Likewise, after the saying of Allahumma anta as-salam wa minka as-salam tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram, then we go for at-takbir al-muqayyad. This is the way a lot of salaf have done it. However, some scholars, they have the opinion that there is nothing like takbir al-muqayyad, and this is the view of Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala. So we have the unrestricted takbir, which one continues to do. Wallahu a'lam, the correct opinion is that there is takbir al-muqayyad, and this is a practice of the Salaf al-Salih. And it is better done after the saying of astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Allahumma anta as-salam, minka as-salam, tabarak ta ya zal jalal wal ikram. Then after that, we say the takbir, the restricted takbir as it is called. Then after that, we go back to our normal azkar that we do after every compulsory salah. If one does it or delays it till after he has done the normal azkar, no harm. But this, it is established that a lot of the salaf will do it that way. And the more you try to emulate the salaf in your ibadat, even if it is something established on the tabi'un, it is better we follow their way of ibadah than what following our own understanding. This makes you more salafi when you follow the way of the tabi'un in ibadah. Even if there is no clear text from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the companions, as long as what they are doing does not go against the text of the Quran and the Sunnah. So this is the kind of istishab that is called, as we call, al-istishab al-maqlub. That is something that the tabi'un are doing or will do. And this thing, there is nothing that goes against it from the practice of the companions, from the practice of the statement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the istishab is that the tabi'un would not have done it if not that they had gotten it from the companions, who in turn had gotten it from the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is the best way. This is the best way in doing it. So we do the azkar, the takbir al-muqayyad, after the istighfar, after the Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam tabarak tayyazal jalal wal ikram. So we do the takbir al-muqayyad after this. Then we do our normal azkar. So the day of Arafah, from the Subh of Arafah we start this, and this continues till the evening of the 13th of Dhul Hijjah, that is the 13th of Dhul Hijjah. We continue to do this Takbir al-Muqayyad after every composed Salah till the evening, that is after Salat al-Asri of the 13th of Dhul Hijjah. So this is established from the statement of a lot of companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the day of Arafah is a day that we try as much as possible to engage in dua. We engage in dua because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Ma min yawmin akthar an yutiqa Allahu fi 'abda min an-nar bi yawmi Arafah." There is no day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set free a slave from hellfire more than the day of Arafah. وَإِنَّهُ لَيَدْنُ. So Allah will come close. So if Allah come close or closer to his servant, despite the fact that Allah is close to his servant, but on this day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come closer to his servant, and he will be posting with his servants before the angels. That is, these are the people that you said I should not create on the surface of the earth. So they are the people who are asking me, who are supplicating, who are looking for my forgiveness, who are looking for my mercy, and so on and so forth. So that's why one should not deny oneself this great opportunity by seizing this opportunity to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whatever one is looking for, whatever one needs. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to accept the dua. As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that there is no da'wah, no dua that a servant would do, that a believer would do, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept the dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him one of three things. So is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala imma yu'ajjil lahu da'wata? Is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asking to give him what he's asking for? Exactly what he's asking for. Is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asking to give him that? Aw yarfa lahu min as-su'i mithla. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who lived an evil away from him. He has supplicated, oh Allah, I want so and so. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is better for him. Allah will accept the dua, but you use it to watch, to ward off a particular evil from him. وَإِمَّنْ يَدْخِرَ أَلَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala watch or keep the dua for him till the day of Qiyamah, with which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reward him. So as Muslims, we supplicate, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, particularly on this day that is said to be the best day of the year. The best day of the year. Now scholars say, if we say the day of Arafah is the best day of the year, what are we going to say about the hadith of خَيْرُ يَوْمٍ طَلْعَتْ فِي الشَّمْسُ يَوْمِ الْجُمْعَةِ The best day that the sun rises is the day of Jumu'ah. Is the day of Jumu'ah. Scholars trying to reconcile between the two statements, they said the khairiyah of the day of Jumu'ah has to do with the 7 days of the week. Why, generally speaking, the best day of the year is the day of Arafah. Is the day of Arafah. And that's why a Muslim does not deny himself the benefit of this day. He does a lot of ibadah, sadaqah, fasting, likewise, dua, other supplications, adhkar. He does a lot of good deeds. He recites the Quran, even if he does not perform Hajj. Those who are on the plain of Arafah will be begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who are at home will also be asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those who are at home, they are also encouraged to fast, as the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do. Aisha radiallahu anha said, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will fast Tis' Dhul Hijjah, the first 9 days of Dhul Hijjah. So, and he also said that Siyam Yawmi Arafa Ahtasibu ala Allah an yukaffira bi sanat al madiya wa sanat al baqiya. The fast of the day of Arafa, I hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to wipe away the sins of the previous year and the sin of the coming year. That is a minor sin. So, it is good for us to fast. One doesn't fast on the day of Arafah, and one engages in some other supererogatory deeds in a meritorious deeds. This is something that is good and that is expected قبلي. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد على كل شيء قدير. These scholars they differ concerning the authenticity. However, whether the hadith is authentic or not, the general text are encouraging us to engage in azkar, engage in supererogatory deeds, engage in ibadat are sufficient. So they also convey the message contained in that hadith. So what you are trying to say in essence is that the day of Arafah, which is today, is a very great day. It's a very great day that the Muslims should try to maximize the reward. So the fast al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum islam ad-dina was reviewed on the day of Arafah. So this is a very great day, the day of Arafah. Now, the next thing is the tent of Arafah. The tent of Arafah, which is the day of Eid, which is called Yawm al-Nahri. Yawm al-Nahri, this is the day of slaughtering. When the Muslims are encouraged to slaughter their sacrificial animals. We said in the previous lecture that the 10th, 11th, and 12th are days of slaughtering. according to most scholars. However, some scholars are of the opinion that even one can slaughter on the 13th of Dhul-Hijjah. So the slaughter starts from the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah. However, what precedes slaughtering is the Salah, Salatul Eid, which is 2 rakah. The 4th rakah will be 7 takbirat, and the 2nd rakah is going to be 5 takbirat. The first takbir, which is takbiratul ihram, and the other ones, the first takbir, which is takbiratul ihram, this is the compulsory one. The other takbirat are sunnah. The one who misses them, his salah is still valid. Unlike the one who does not do takbiratul ihram. So the other 6 are sunnah, they are not compulsory. The first one is the one that is compulsory. So the 2nd rakah is 5 takbir. Apart from the takbir of rising from sujood to the 2nd rakah. So the 1st rakah, we said 7 takbirat. The 1st takbir is the takbiratul ihram. The other 6, they are sunnah. So apart from the takbir of going to ruku'. So the 2nd rakah, we have 5 takbirat to be said in standing position. So why, when we are going to the 2nd rakah, there is going to be a takbir of rising to the 2nd rakah. This is not part of the 5 that you are talking about. So all these ones, they are sunnah. So, and that's why, let's assume somebody does 1 or 2 or 3, it does not really matter. As long as a person does takbiratul ihram, but it is good to follow the sunnah, because this is a sabish from Aisha radiallahu anha and some others, that they will do takbiratul ihram, then 6 other ones, making 7 altogether in the 1st rakah. So apart from the one of going to ruku, then in the 2nd rakah, they will do 5 takbirat. Then apart from what, the one of going to standing position. So this is something that you are supposed to do. Now tomorrow, inshallah, is the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah as mentioned. However, it coincides with the day of Jum'ah. So the day of Jum'ah is one Eid. Yawm al-Nahri is another Eid. So we have 2 Eids. Now, how are we going to do it? Who is well in it, or who can lead the Salah, should lead it. And after doing what you have explained, as Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala said, likewise Al-Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, khutbah can be delivered, contrary to what some scholars have said. So khutbah can be delivered. So the only time they won't deliver the khutbah, according to the way their opinion, is that when they are going to observe 4 rakah. But when they want to observe the normal 2 rakah, it is good that the khutbah is delivered. It is good the khutbah is delivered. So this we said in the Masail of Ishaq and Kausaj, Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala was asked something like this. Where it is allowed for people to go come together, as we have heard, that it is said that in some places in Nigeria, the government allows them to come together to observe, maybe in the mosque. This is also acceptable. If it is not possible to have a large congregation in an open field, so people observing this in the masajid, even in the masajid Ratiba, they will observe the 5 daily prayers. This can be done. So if that is what is available. So because what is easy to get, we won't leave it because we cannot get some things. So this is what is expected. Same it is Masjid al-Ratib that we can observe, we can converge there, then there is no harm. There is no harm to do that. Now, the Imam will observe as we have mentioned. Now, what about Salatul Jum'ah? Salatul Jum'ah, we know this happened during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He will observe Salatul Jum'ah, he will observe Salatul Eid, and he will also observe Salatul Al-Jum'ah. As we have it in attending hadith, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, قَدْ اِجْتَمَعَ فِي يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا عِيدَانِ. He said, two Eids have come together in this day of yours. So he said, فَمَنْ شَاءَ أَجْزَأَهُ. So whoever wills that his Eid that he has observed is sufficient. He doesn't need to watch Anil Jum'ah. He does not need to come for Salatul Jum'ah. He said, فَإِنَّا مُجَمِّعُونَ. As for we are going to observe Salatul Jum'ah. So this, the Hanabila, they use as evidence that it is not compulsory on those who observe Salatul Eid to also come for Salatul Jum'ah. Once you observe Salatul Eid with the Imam, it is not compulsory on you to come for Salatul Jum'ah based on this hadith. However, the other madhhab of the opinion that is still compulsory on you to come to observe it, that it is only those who are in far areas that it will be difficult for them to come back again. So they've come from a long distance to observe Salatul Eid. Then they're going back home, then coming back later again, this is going to be something that will be stressful. So for this reason, they are excused not to come for Salatul Jum'ah since they have observed Salatul Eid. And this is buttressed by the affair of Uthman radiallahu anhu, which Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala recorded in Sahih, that Uthman radiallahu anhu said to the people who are living in Al-Awali. Al-Awali, this is about 4 or 5 miles away from Medina. So this is when they witnessed Salatul Eid together with Uthman radiallahu anhu. So Uthman said what? He has allowed them not to come for the Salatul Jum'ah. That is, has allowed them not to come for Salatul Jum'ah because I've observed Salatul and Eid together with him. So these, the scholars, the other madhhab, they use as evidence that for those people who are living far away from the town, so these people may not come to observe Salatul Al-Jum'ah since they observe Salatul Al-Eid and two Eids are combined together. So, and we said earlier that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said something that could be understood to be general, whether you are living far away or you are living very close. So he said, فَمَنْ شَاءَ أَجْزَأَهُ عَنِ الْجُمْعَةِ. So he did not say those who are living far away. But some people, as we said, they understood it to mean he was referring to those people who are living far away. As for the Imam, he ought to watch, observe Salatul Jum'ah for people. So that when people come for Salatul Jum'ah, they will see somebody to lead them in Salah. It is compulsory on the Imam to observe Salatul Al-Jum'ah. It's compulsory on him to observe Salatul Jum'ah if it coincides with the day of Eid. However, the Ma'mumun, this is the area where the scholars have differed on. Some have the opinion that those who are living far shouldn't bother to come to observe Salatul Jum'ah. Some say it is general, as we said that this is what report from a position held by the Hanabila, that is, it's something that is a general. However, for those people who say, for people living afar, this may not be applicable to most places today, Particularly, we have a lot of masajid jam in our society today. Just some meters away, you see another masjid that is Masjid Jami. So for this reason, the position of those people, that is the majority of the Madhahib, who are of the opinion that it is for those who are far away, so this may not be applicable today. However, when we go by the view of the those who say it is general, when we go by the view of those who say it is general, when we go by the view of those who say it is general, that is, once you observe Salatul Jum'ah, so Salatul Eid, it is not compulsory on you to come for Salatul Al-Jum'ah. However, here, most scholars be of the opinion that if you do not come for Salatul Jum'ah, then you have to pray Salatul Zuhr at home. If you do not come for Salatul Jum'ah, you have to pray Salatul Jum'ah, Salatul Zuhr at home. So this is the view of most scholars, that if you enjoy the allowance of not coming to the masjid to observe Salatul Jum'ah with the imam because you have observed Salatul Eid, then in that case you have to observe Salatul Zuhr at home. However, we have some scholars who are of the opinion that it is not compulsory on you to pray Salatul Zuhr. And this is the view of Al-Albani, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, and Al-Shawkani, and some others. That once Salatul Jum'ah is lifted from you, then no replacement. No replacement. But this view, Wallahu A'lam, is a weak view, in that the practice has been that those people who do not observe Salatul Jum'ah, like the women, like the slave, that is those that Salatul Jum'ah is not compulsory on, like the traveler, these people, when they do not observe Salatul Jum'ah, we know they observe Salatul Zuhr. When they do not observe Salatul Jum'ah, they observe Salatul Zuhr. So in a situation where somebody enjoys the allowance of not observing Salatul Jum'ah because he has observed Salatul Eid, what would be expected is that such a person should observe Salatul Zuhr when it is time for Zuhr. This is what most scholars are upon. This is what most scholars are upon. That is, even if we say we are going to enjoy the general implication of the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that said, "What قَدْ اجْتَمَعَ فِي يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا عِيدَانِ." So, and he said, "What فَمَنْ شَاءَ أَجْزَاءَ أَوَّلِ الْجُمْعَةِ." So, whoever observes Salatul Eid with us, then it is what it is sufficient for him with respect to Salatul Jum'ah. فَإِنَّا مُجَمِّعُونَ. However, we are going to observe Salatul Jum'ah. So if you say the hadith is general, it does not really mean those who are coming from far distance, the way one will understand from the hadith of Uthman radiallahu anhu. If we go by that, you are still going to pray Salatul Zuhr. Why? Because the practice has been that if somebody does not pray Salatul Jum'ah, you pray Salatul Zuhr, like the traveler, that the possibility that he is allowed not to observe Salatul Jum'ah, like the women, they are allowed not to observe Salatul Jum'ah, the servants, they are, or the slaves, they are allowed not to pray Salatul Jum'ah. All these people, what we know is that they observe Salatul Zuhr in place of Salatul Jum'ah. So the same thing should be done by the one who does not observe Salatul Jum'ah because he has observed Salatul Al-Eid. So this is what most scholars are upon. However, I mentioned that Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, and some, they are of the opinion that this has been combined. And they rely on an author from Abdullah ibn Zubair. Abdullah ibn Zubair, radiallahu anhu, was said to have led people in Salatul Eid, and he did not come out until Salatul Asr. He did not come out until Salatul Al-Asr, meaning he did not observe Salatul Jum'ah, nor did he observe what? Salatul Az-Zuhr. So Sheikh Al-Albani and some others use this as evidence. However, The scholars who are of the opinion that you have to observe Salatul Zuhr after you have watched, or if you do not observe Salatul Jummah with the Imam, because you have observed Salatul Al-Eid in the morning. So they are of the opinion that this asar of Abdullah bin Zubair has to do with when he delays Salatul Al-Jummah, Salatul Eid, he delayed it a bit. He did not observe it very early, that is about 10-15 minutes after sunrise, which is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we have it in the hadith of the Ibn Abi Auf, that they would have finished the Salat of Eid by this time. That is, he was referring to the time of Salatul Duha. So the third Abdullah bin Zubayr delayed it. And going by the madhab of Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, it is permissible for people to observe Salatul Jum'ah before Zawal. That is, during the time of Duha, one can observe Salatul Jum'ah. And this is the reason why some scholars, or a lot of scholars, have said that what you cannot combine Jum'ah and watch and Asr, the way you can combine Zuhr and Asr. Because one of the characteristics of Salatul Jum'ah, one of the peculiarities of Salatul Jum'ah, is that it can be observed before Zawal. Unlike Salatul Zuhr, which must not be observed before Zawal. So, Salatul Jum'ah can be observed before Zawal according to the Hanbali school of thought. And this is also a favored opinion of Ishaq bin Rawiya and some others. So, it was said that Abdullah bin Zubair delayed it a bit to observe it at the time of Duha, that is, Salatul Jum'ah. Meaning, it will take the place of what? Of Eid. It will take the place of Eid. He observed Salatul Jum'ah, meaning it will take the place of Salatul Eid. So meaning what? He will not need to observe Salatul Zuhr anymore. Or he won't observe Salatul Zuhr anymore since he has observed Salatul Al-Jum'ah. This is one interpretation. Another interpretation is that he prayed Zuhr at home. He did not come to the masjid, thinking it is also permissible for the Imam not to observe Salatul Al-Jum'ah for the people. So, and that's the reason why he did not come to observe the Salatul Jum'ah. So rather, he observed Salatul Zuhr at home the way every other person will observe it. Now, the most important thing that you are trying to establish here is that scholars differ on whether the one who enjoys not performing Salatul Jum'ah with the Imam because he has observed Salatul Eid with the Imam, whether the person will have to observe Salatul Zuhr in place of the Jum'ah that he does not witness with the Imam or not. We said most scholars are of the opinion that such a person will have to pray Salatul Zuhr at home, contrary to the view of Shawkani, Al-Albani and some others. And this, wallahu alam, appears to be the stronger opinion. Though the other view, they have a point and argument too. But in a situation like this, it is better one sticks to what the Jumhur are upon, particularly when the position of the Jumhur is not something that is devoid of evidence. It's something that is also worthy. So this is on Salatul Jum'ah and Salatul Al-Eid. If Eid and Jum'ah happen to be on the same day as we have it in this year, that tomorrow, which is the 10th of the Hijjah, is the day of Eid. At the same time, it is also Yawm al-Jum'ah. So for those people who are living in states that the government has not lifted the ban on conventional prayer, then ours is to observe our Eid at home. So this is what is expected of us. So when it is time for zuhur, you observe the zuhur. So we'll see, you are going to enjoy that, that you won't observe the salatu zuhur. Since ordinarily we cannot observe salatu jumu'ah at home, so this, there is ijma' on that, that you don't observe salatu jumu'ah at home. So in this case, you are going to observe salatu az-zuhur. But for those who are going to observe salatu jumu'ah in the masjid, and as we said, that it is compulsion on the imam, according to what most scholars are upon, to observe salatu jumu'ah. For those people who are intending to observe salatu jumu'ah. So as for those people who do not come to observe salatu jumu'ah, so they should also pray salatu zuhur at home. This is the more correct opinion. They should pray salatu zuhur at home. So they should pray salatu zuhur at home. This is a more correct opinion. So these are some of the things that we want to mention. So this our takbir al-muqayyad, that is Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Walillahi hamd. This we continue to say it after every compulsory salah. So this is the sunnah, and this is the way of the Salafus Salih. As we said, that we say this after we have said Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. And after you have said Allahumma anta salam, ika salam, tabarak, ya zal jalal wa ikram. So we say this. Then after that, we say the takbirat. Then after that, we go back to our normal adhkar that you do after every salah. This is what most of the salaf are upon. This is what most of the salaf are upon. As for those who say there is nothing like a takbir al-muqayyaj, Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala said, this view is not really supported. And that's why it is said that the companions, Abdullah bin Umar, and many others, they would be doing takbir fi adwar salah, aw salawat, as Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala recorded. These are the companions. So, and their view is weightier than the view of any other person. So when the companions, they do an act, so most likely they've gotten from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Unless if you have a clear text that says the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam practiced something different from what a companion did. But if we do not see any text that is against what a companion did, then it is better for us to follow that companion, because he knows religion better than anyone of us. And this makes us more Salafi, or a true Salafis in that all your ibadat, you now want to do something that is contrary to what the companions are upon. So we pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us witness many Eid. May He subhanahu wa ta'ala make us witness many Arafadi, and accept all our acts of ibadah in those days. May He subhanahu wa ta'ala overlook our shortcomings. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanaka lahumma bihamdik ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.